Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Good Stuff. Mike and Kim Burge, along with you on your local radio station. If you have something you'd like to share, send it to kimhburge@gmail.com. A big invitation, big event coming up, the 5th Annual Golden Valley Shootout up in Golden Valley, North Dakota this weekend, Saturday, August 17th. It's going to be the bull riding. Gates open at 4, and the bulls will buck at 6. And then on Sunday, the 18th, the Wayne Herman Invitational. And that's going to be gates opening at 1, horses buck at 3 p.m. The Golden Valley Shootout, Golden Valley, North Dakota. You need to be there.
Local, national, international livestock news. Livestock auction reports. Award-winning columnists, classified ads pertaining to the topic of livestock, special interest sections, and there's so much more. It all comes in the Tri-State Livestock News, which comes out weekly. Now, of course, online you can also find the latest stories, the latest sales reports, updates, and that's where you subscribe to the weekly publication. Tri-State Livestock News, it's what ranchers read.
The Cherry County Visitors Promotion Board invites you to make plans to visit Cherry County, Nebraska. You start that all out by going to visitvalentine.org. Check out 50 things to do. Come and visit Nebraska's tallest waterfall at the Smith Falls State Park. Go to Merritt Reservoir. Take advantage of the dark skies. In fact, international dark skies designation there. So check it all out. Visitvalentine.com.
Mike, I have got something today about how the Bigfoot legend began.
How it began, huh?
How it began. In 1958, journalist Andrew Ginzoli of the Humboldt Times highlighted a fun, if dubious, letter from a reader about loggers in Northern California who had discovered mysteriously large footprints. Maybe we have a relative of the abominable snowman of the Himalayas, he joked when he wrote his article on September 21st. Later, Gonzola said that he'd simply thought the mysterious footprints made a good Sunday morning story. But to his surprise, it really fascinated readers. In response, Gonzola and fellow Humboldt Times journalist Betty Allen published follow-up articles about the footprints, reporting the name loggers had given to the so-called creature who left the big tracks. Of course, what are they going to call him but Bigfoot? And so a legend was born. There are various wild man myths from all over the world, actually. In Western Canada, a tribe has the Saskets, the supposed origin of the word Sasquatch. However, the modern U.S. concept of Bigfoot can be traced quite directly to the Humboldt Times stories in 1958. People later go back and dig through old newspapers and stuff and find scattered reports of a wild man here, a wild man there, he said, but it doesn't coalesce into a general discussion until the 50s. Even though loggers blamed acts of vandalism on Bigfoot, Allen thought that most of them didn't really believe in the creature. It seemed to her that they were just passing along stories with a legendary flavor. Still, the story spread to newspapers all over the country, and the TV show Truth or Consequences offered $1,000 to anyone who could prove the existence of Bigfoot. A cast of a foot track obtained in Bluff Creek, California, at the Bigfoot Institute, of course, no less. Who is making the huge 16-inch tracks in the vicinity of Bluff Creek? Ginzoli wrote in one of his columns that October. Are the tracks a human hoax? Or are they the actual marks of a huge but harmless wild man traveling through the wilderness? Can this be some legendary-sized animal? Once Bigfoot's story went public, it became a character in men's adventure magazines and cheap trade paperback novels. In these stories, he, for Bigfoot definitely was a he, was a primal, dangerous creature out of the past who lurked in the modern wilderness. By the 70s, pseudo-documentaries were investigating his existence and films were portraying him as a predator. In the 80s, Bigfoot showed his softer side. He became associated with environmentalists and a symbol of the wilderness that we need to preserve. One big example is the 1987 movie Harry and the Hendersons, which portrayed Bigfoot as a friendly, misunderstood creature in need of protection from John Lithgow and his family. So why has the Bigfoot legend persisted for 60 years? It takes on its own momentum because it is a media icon. Just so no one really needs to explain that character who turned into wolves during a full moon were werewolves, no one needs to explain who a hairy man-ape walking out of the woods would be. It's just something that's easy to refer to, they say. That would be Bigfoot.
And that's the good stuff.